Everyone, you get an outline that would like an outline? You'll have to be presumptuous that you might want to follow along with my lesson tonight. We started a lesson or kind of a series of last Lord's Day evening on just the names that the Bible uses to describe us. Either our work or our relationship to one another or our relationship to God. Like we looked at the words, the name Christian, we were to be saints, was another word, brethren, our relationship to one another, and then also heirs, have an inheritance. So tonight we're just going to take a look at the single word members that the Bible uses to describe us. In one place, in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "We who are many are one body in Christ, individually members one of another." You know, so when we think about names, I know when we have parents and we have a child coming along, we get the books out, and there's books all over. There's thousands of names. We have a niece that's expecting a baby pretty soon. They still haven't decided on a name. They're just really struggling with that. Now, when our first child was coming along, we were looking at boys' names. I was kind of partial to the Bible name Jubal. It's in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, where Jubal was the father of all who played the harp and the pipe. And I thought, that's really neat. And I thought, we'll give him a middle name of Lee. So it'll be Jubal Lee Anderson. Christine nicked pretty quick. So Jared's pretty thankful that he got Jared instead of Jubilee Anderson. We go and use names for each other, Bible names, but we want them to possess that quality of character. We even have sweet names for each other. Christine's already shaking her head this way. Don't you do it. So names, but they're interesting. This evening we're going to look at a lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12 through 27. I'm not going to read that section, but we'll look at four verses, rather lengthy text, to give us our lesson this evening. In verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it." Each of you. And the word body is used at least about 15 times just in this text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So obviously there's a similarity between how the physical body works and how the body of Christ works. And how that we are the body of Christ, but now let's look at we as individual members thereof. First one, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. "The body is not one member, but many." In verse 15, he gives us a little illustration of this, and he illustrates different body parts. I'll read the section to you, verses 15 through 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body.'" So then he asked the question, "But is it therefore not of the body? It's because the foot is not the hand?" Then he goes on with his illustration. "If the ear shall say, 'I'm not the eye, therefore I'm not of the body.'" And he asked the question again, "Is it not of the body?" He said, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body?" Here's the illustration. If the body was just one, in other words, all of us were the same body part, same member, it wouldn't work efficiently. In fact, it wouldn't work at all. If all of us were an eye, I'm an eye, you're an eye, everybody's an eye. All we could do is look. We couldn't hear. You're an eye. Can't talk. You're an eye. Can't move around. Well, he could roll, I guess. Get someplace. But you're an eye. So if all of us were the same, it wouldn't function well. If all of us were the hands, well, then we can't see, can't talk, can't hear, or anything else, because all of us are the same. We're hands. If we were all mouth, we'd just talk, but nobody could hear. So no member of the spiritual body, the lesson is to feel that he's not a part of the body. Merely because you don't do what somebody else can do, don't think that you're not a part of the body. No, the congregation. I saw this article, used it, I don't know how many years ago in this lesson. Ever heard the story of stone soup? Mm-hmm. Stone soup. It's written in 1947 by Marsha Brown. It's a story based on an old French folk tale about three hungry soldiers who were on their way home from the war. And so they were longing for, the story is, they were longing for a good meal and a place to sleep. So these three soldiers came to a village where they hoped to find both a good meal and a place to sleep. However, when the peasants of the village heard that strangers were approaching, they hid all their supplies. The soldiers went from house to house asking for food and lodging. But all they received were excuses and stories sadder than their own. The harvest had been poor that year. It seemed like no one had anything to eat at all. So faced with another night of hunger and sleeping under the stars, the soldiers talked among themselves and devised a plan. They told the peasants, "We're three hungry soldiers in a strange land. We've asked you for food and you have no food. Well then, we'll have to make stone soup." Peasants never heard of such a thing. They were intrigued by the idea that soup could be made from stones. Well, the soldiers asked for a large iron pot filled with water and a fire with which to heat it. Well, the excited peasants were more than happy to provide what the soldiers needed. After all, they'd never seen such a thing done before. When the strangers added three smooth stones to the water, the excitement grew. As the soup heated, the soldiers mused about a number of things that could make it even better. Salt, pepper, or carrots, cabbage, beef, potatoes, or barley, or milk. And each time they mentioned something that would improve the taste, a villager would run into his home and return with the item. Finally, the soup was finished. Everyone agreed that it smelled wonderful. The people of the village became so excited by the miracle of stone soup that they even brought out bread and roast and cider to add to the incredible meal. As the entire town sat down to enjoy the feast, everyone marveled that all of this had come from three stones. That night, the three soldiers slept in the finest beds the grateful peasants had to offer. The next day, when the men resumed their journey, the people of the village said, "We shall never grow hungry now that we know how to make soup from stones." Where's the idea? Is when everyone participates, when everyone does what they can, even those who are not the same. You do your part, I do mine. Of course, with this story, we'll have stone soup, tasty stone soup. So the body is not, number one, the body is not one member, but many. Second lesson in verse 20 of the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are many members, but we're one body. So if we're one body, we're a single unit. We're a single thing, not two or more. We're characterized by many, many members of one body. We form a whole or an undivided item. And the Bible says in Colossians 1 verse 18 that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. So we receive our direction from the Christ. Everything we do in this body life gets its direction from the head, meaning Jesus. He is the head of the body, the church. When we want to know how to behave ourselves in the congregation, Jesus gives us instruction. We want to know how we should conduct our worship assembly, we have our instruction from Jesus or the Word of God. We want to know about relationships, we receive our instruction from Jesus or the Word of God. We want to know how to have our sins forgiven, the head gives instruction to the body on how it should respond. He is the head of the body, the church. So even though, number one, we are many members, number two, we're one body. One body. We need to function that way. In verses 4 through 6, the text says, now there are diversities of gifts. That's right. All of us have different talents, abilities. Oh, but it's the same Spirit. There's differences of administrations. Yeah. Oh, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations. Right, but the same God which works all in all. And in verse 27 of this chapter, Paul said, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we're body parts, and each of us is different. Different. Number 3 in your notes, verse 21 of the text, the eye cannot say to the hand, remember, we're different body parts, I have no need of you. don't say to anybody in the congregation, I don't need you. No. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. So I put in your notes an article titled, Everyone is Needed. Probably already read it. There's just one key out of it. Just one. Says, in fact, I've already practiced reading this. Even though my typewriter is an old model, that's us, it works well except for one of the keys. One. I wish many times that it worked perfectly. It's true that there are 46 keys that function well enough, but just one makes a difference. Sometimes it seems to me that our organization is somewhat like that typewriter. Not all the people are working properly. You may ask yourself, well, I'm only one person. I won't make or break a program. But it does make a difference, because any program, to be effective, needs the active participation of every member. So, the next time you think that you're only one person and that your efforts are not needed, remember my typewriter and say to yourself, I'm a key person in our organization. I'm needed very much. Anytime I don't work right, it sure makes a difference. One person. So, the lesson that Paul gave here in point number 3, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. No, I need you. We need you. No matter what you think your particular function in the body is, you may think, well, I'm not a vital organ in the body. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We need you. And when I first printed this, Christine was working as a supervisor at the blood bank, and she had a staff of half a dozen or so, and used it for one of her staff meetings. Because sometimes staff says, you know, I'll just call in sick today. They don't need me. We need you. We need you. Everybody in the body is important. So, it's a valuable lesson. In verse 21 of the same, that Paul, the verse continues, much more those members of the body which seem more feeble or weak are necessary. You know, think of your body. You may think, well, I need my little toe. Balance, other things. Fingernail, that's a small body part. Look at the size of this body. You need that fingernail? Yeah, sure do. Elbow? In Romans 12, verse 3, Paul said, "For I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." All the body parts. So even though some of you may say, "I'm a vital organ, this one's not." Oh, no, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Remember in the text, it says God has designed that body, the physical body and the spiritual body. You know, my feet, I need my feet. They're made for walking. Need my hands. They hold my bowl of ice cream. I need those hands. Don't ever think you can bow out of your job and not get noticed. Don't think you can bow out of your talent or your opportunity and nobody's going to be hurt or affected by it. Every body part. You know, you stub your toe, the whole body aches and crumbles. The whole body does. It reacts to one toe getting stubbed. And that's what we need to do as a congregation. When one hurts, we all hurt. It affects all of us. When one rejoices, we all rejoice, Paul said in Romans chapter 12. We're members. It's this lesson. We're members of the body. Help each other. That story goes. Had the thought, but I can't remember the exact story. I'm in this situation, but you probably have heard the story too. There were two people, and they were given a bowl of food and a long, long-handled spoon. And each one kind of said to the other very selfishly, "He's not getting my food." But they couldn't feed himself because the hand was tied to the long end of the handle. The old cup was down there using this long handle. Can't feed myself. So what was the answer? That's right. They fed each other. Selfishness would have caused them to die of starvation. But when you saw the need, "Oh, I can help you. I will feed you and you feed me." So with that long, he dipped into the spoon and fed him. And that person dipped into his bowl and fed. Everyone's important. Valuable. The last one I have here, number 4 in your notes, verse 25, that there should be no division or schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, is the verse. So God created a body physically, spiritually, a church, that's designed to function in unity. In working together. So that's the lesson. I think I have about 9 or 10 more words that the Bible uses, that Paul and Peter use to describe us. Like I said, either our work or our relationship to one another or our relationship to God. So, excuse me, Lord willing, next Sunday evening we'll continue with the series of words that are found in the New Testament that describe us, our work, or our relationship. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, and we extend an invitation, because while we're gathered here, someone may have a request for prayer, or a request for help in some way, or have a decision or a reason that I want to be baptized for remission of sins. I want to do that. I've been studying, and I've decided that's the direction I want to go. I want to make that commitment. I want to repent of my sins, make my confession of faith, and be baptized for remission of sins. And we can accomplish that too. So we, at the close, or in every worship assembly we have, we extend that invitation. So if that's your resolve, if that's your decision, while we can rejoice with you in that, you can do it any time, but that's tonight is the time, then let it be known. So, Dennis, let's stand together and sing the song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation.